we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you say that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When you think of the book of Joshua, what stories come to your mind? The crossing of the Jordan River? The stones of remembrance? Maybe you think about the tumbling walls of Jericho or the day the sun stood still. The book of Joshua is more than all that. It is a book of historical facts and events in Israel's story, but it's also about new beginnings for God's people. It encourages us to be strong and courageous in the world today as we claim our rich spiritual inheritance in Jesus Christ. The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Joshua, Be Strong and Courageous. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Okay, we ready? Page 45 if you need that. Here we go. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Joshua 3, verse 9, NLT. Okay, we're already here. We're coming to listen to what the Lord has to say, right? Here we're going to say it now. Here we go. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Joshua 3, verse 9, NLT. Okay, we're going to do it one more time. It's a short one. You can do this. Here we go. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Joshua 3, verse 9, NLT. You did it! You did it! And happy birthday to you.
We need to follow Jesus. That's why we're here. I'm thankful to God for your commitment to Him, to know why you believe what you believe. So in Joshua here, as we just move into the study now, actually get into this chapter, they're going into the promised land. They're coming to Acacia Grove, which is also called Shittim, where the acacia trees are. This is the modern Jordan. These are just some facts. I'll just throw these out. They will cross the Jordan River like they crossed the... Isn't it interesting that I got my voice at just this? No, what I'm saying is these are just the facts. This has nothing to do with the study. These are just the facts. Interesting. So they'll cross over the Jordan River like they crossed over the Red Sea, where their parents had crossed over the Red Sea. Rahab last week, Ruth did such a good job on teaching on Rahab. It's a very important story to the gospel. She will show up 3 times in the New Testament. And she is in Christ's lineage. She will show up again in chapter 6 of Joshua. And Rahab is a picture of us. She was in need of God's mercy. She was estranged from Him. Her faith was received by Him. Rahab's story is the story of God's redemption. And she marks her home with a scarlet cord, as we mark our lives with the scarlet cord of Jesus Christ's blood that gives us eternal life, that gives us salvation, His sacrifice for us. We receive forgiveness, repentance. We walk in obedience. All things we also have need of. Those are all things that we all have need of. Forgiveness, repentance, and to walk in obedience. Joshua and Caleb spied out the land. Otherwise, no one else has ever been in this land before. No one else has stepped foot in here. The other ones that went in have died. Only Joshua and Caleb know what they're going into. and they are excited like little teenagers as they get ready to go, recognizing that there is going to be a battle going on. And so then Joshua rose early in the morning. Did you guys all mark that? He rose early in the morning. I heard recently that if people who get up at 7 o'clock every morning are more productive. They're more productive in their workplace. They're more productive in their life, and they have less dealings with depression. Isn't that interesting? He rose early in the morning. The Bible says, early will I seek you. Early, first thing. Some of you think that 10 o'clock is first thing, but you know what? Whatever time is first thing for you, early will we seek him. And they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, and all the children of Israel had lodged there before they crossed over. So they're all gathering together there. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. Now, the officers had to have already been instructed by Joshua what was going to do, what was going to go on. We don't have a recording of that. We know that they wouldn't do it without him telling them. So the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, so about a half a mile. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. That is going to be key in what we're talking about. You have not passed this way before. So the Ark of the Covenant, what about this Ark of the Covenant? It used to occupy the tabernacle, later the temple. It was kept in the Holy of Holies, where the priests went in every year to make atonement for the people and for their sin, hit their own sins as well. God would visit with the high priest there on what is called Yom Kippur. So what was the Ark of the Covenant like? If I were a really good teacher, I would have a picture up there for you to look at. But I know you guys, you all went on the internet and you looked up a picture of the Ark of the Covenant. So you all know exactly what it looks like. It was 3 3/4 feet this way, 2 1/4 feet this way, and 2 1/4 feet this way. The lid, which is called the mercy seat, was made of solid gold with gold cherubim, which are angels, on top, with their wings outstretched facing each other. All these directions were given to Moses, and that's why it was made that way. It was made of acacia wood, which was a very common wood. It was made of acacia wood, but it was overlaid with pure gold. And it speaks of Jesus coming as a man who was God, holy man, and holy God. And so it speaks of him. Inside were kept articles of Israel's history. The Ten Commandments, this would have been the Xerox copy of it. Because Moses broke the first one. You remember, he got so upset, he broke the first one. He had to go up, and God made him do the chiseling out himself. So the Ten Commandments were in there. Aaron's budding staff was in there. And a sample of manna. Now, manna was not to last for more than one day, but apparently this one was petrified or something that caused it to last while it was in there. In Psalms 80, verse 1, and 99, verse 1, the Bible tells us that God would sit enthroned between the cherubim, so his presence would manifest itself over the mercy seat. When the priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year with the blood of the Lamb, he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat. It would be there, that temporary atonement was made for sin. Temporary atonement was made for sin. It wouldn't be, and of course, this was before Jesus came with his atonement for all of our sins. once for all and would result in eternal life. God would visit the high priest there with his Shekinah glory. He would not come in a physical body at that time. He would come in his glory, and he would rest on between the cherubim there. So Hebrews 7 says that all of this was a copy or a shadow of all that which would be when Christ was revealed. So you will want to check into chapter 7 of Hebrews for that. So the priest would hoist up the Ark of the Covenant with these long poles, and that is the only way that it was to be carried. And we see later on in the Old Testament when someone touched it, and then there's the Raiders of the Lost Ark, and that's, you know, that. Then that's what happened, and that's totally history, totally history, but put across there. But they were not to touch it, and he did die from touching it. So they were never to touch the ark itself. The priests were to lead the way of the people, and the people were to follow. What were they to follow? Were they to follow the priests? No, the Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence. They followed God's presence. Their eyes were always on God's presence. That's what they followed. Don't come near, about a half a mile. There are a few things that we see in this chapter with that. Number one, follow with enough space between you that you can see where the ark and the priests are going. Why would we have to have a half a mile between them? Have you ever stood right behind somebody and you're trying to follow them? And you want to go, no. And so everybody, this whole group, is up close trying to maneuver, you know? You've got to have space to see the direction of the Lord. There's the other thing that you have to do. You have to keep your eyes on him. You have to keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. You have to keep your eyes on the presence of the Lord. Have you ever followed someone and then all of a sudden you realize you're off course because you've gone on autopilot? I know the way. You don't consciously think it. Oh, I know the way. So I make the turn here, I make the turn there, and all of a sudden we're not following anymore. You remember the story of the young girl that got on the train. She was late to for her college test. She went on autopilot. She got up late. She got to the train station. She got onto the train from her regular platform, and she's sitting on the train and all of a sudden realized she has gotten on the wrong train and she's going in the opposite direction of where she needs to go, so she missed the test. Why did she miss the test? Because she was on autopilot and not looking at the signs. We need to be looking at the signs, all of the signs that we are living under right now. Don't try to get ahead of God. Psalm 106, 10 through 13, they had asked the Lord to remember them. They had repented. They were thankful. And those verses in the NIV say, he saved them from the hand of the foe, from the hand of the enemy he redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived. Speaking of the Egyptians who had come after them at the Red Sea. Then they believed his promises and sang his praises. That's verse 12. Verse 13, but they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. They soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for God's plan to unfold. In the desert, they gave in to their craving. In the wilderness, they put God to the test. Verse 15, so he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease among them. Now, if you read this in the New King James Version, verse 13, they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Sent leanness into their soul. They stopped following behind the Lord. They went on autopilot. Matthew 4, 18 through 20. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Philippians 3, 17. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. John 21, 21 and 22. This is where Peter said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? What about that guy? What about that guy? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remains until I come, what's that to you? You follow me. You follow me. The Lord's in charge. We get impulsive and we start to do things, and then we ask the Lord to bless it. And when it isn't even in the direction that he was leading us and we didn't pay any attention, we just went, oh God, yeah, just bless this. And then we wonder why it doesn't work. Why doesn't it turn out the way that I planned it? Because you planned it. And God didn't plan it. That was not the direction. You weren't following the presence of the Lord. You weren't following in his direction. You weren't following his lead. So we need to follow him. We need to seek him. And you have not passed this way before. Jacob and Joshua had gone in before. They're the only two. I've already said that. They already went in and they saw what they were getting. But the other people have not been that way before. So many places in our lives, we've never been there before. I've never been old before. And now I am. And every day is new. Every day there's something else that doesn't work. Talking about my can opener. But, you know, it's all new. Every day in our lives, when we're following Jesus, everything is new. Some things look familiar, but they're all new. They're all new. And so we follow after the Lord, and we keep that so that we keep our eyes on him. Verse 5, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourselves. Set yourselves apart. The Hebrew word is kadash. Q-A-D-A-S-H, I think is the correct spelling on it. It means to consecrate. It means to purify. How do we sanctify ourselves? We get rid of anything that's before God in our life. Get rid of anything that is before God in our life. Whatever it is, whatever God is speaking to you right now, that's it. When you ask God, is there anything standing in the way? And he tells you what's standing in the way, and you go, yeah, but, okay. All right, well, is there something else maybe? Can we trade? No, we can't make it. This is not, let's make a deal. We don't make deals with God. We need to clean up, remove the leaven. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little bit of sin, a little bit of compromise, grows into a whole loaf. Just a little bit of compromise. Oh, it's okay if I... It's just... How about... It will grow. And all of a sudden you will say, how in the world did I get here? How did I get to this place? Just a little leaven. Repent. Turn around. Repent in your thought. Repent in your word. And repent in your deed. God knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Hebrews 4:12. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's Colossians 3:17. Let me read that to you again. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The next verse reads, wives, submit to your own husbands. Yeah, that didn't get the reaction I expected. You guys all knew that scripture was coming next, right? Because you know the word. Whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. Whether in word or in deed. Purify yourself. G. Campbell Morgan says, the church pure is the church powerful. The church pure is the church powerful. There's just something that happens when we're walking in purity. There's nothing to get in the way of the power of the Lord working in and through us. So how do I get pure? How do I get cleaned up? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us of our sins. Forgive us and cleanse us of our sins. Yes, and if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how we get cleaned up. Confess, repent, turn around, go the other direction. If there's something tempting you, turn around and run. Turn around and run. Joseph left his coat behind rather than do something that would defame the name of his God. He ran, and it cost him to run. It cost him because of the lie that was connected with it. Just because I repent of something, just because I run away from something, doesn't mean that I'm not going to get through hard times, in hard times. I'm going to get through hard times. But it doesn't mean that I'm not going to get some hard times. But God carries us through that. And I want you to notice that this is for all people. The priest had better have taken care of this before they set foot into the water. They had better have taken care of it in their own hearts and their own lives before they stepped foot in that water. And this is more serious for leaders. It is more serious for us as leaders. I have to be responsible. I am responsible to God for anything I share with you. And if I am sharing things to promote myself, if I am sharing things to promote anything else other than God himself, I am responsible for that, and I am responsible for your reaction to it. So I better make sure that what I'm preaching is what God gave me. Interesting that my voice just left. God has got this. God has got it all. Follow my lead. God says, follow my lead. Follow my presence. Walk in purity. Be holy, even as I am holy. That's what God says. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. And my friend, Brother Harold, used to say, and brother, that's holy. Joshua didn't say, something to note is that Joshua didn't say that your swords, get your swords ready. He didn't say get ready for war. He said, get yourself behind the presence of the Lord. Because the Lord's going to fight this battle for you. Sanctify yourself and watch what God will do. Put on the whole armor. This time that I was away last week, there was someone who gave me a word for women's ministry. We've been praying about some things with women's ministry. And one of the things that she said in there is that, I see a large fortified ship cutting through the waters of a vast ocean. Huge waves build and crash over the front of the ship as they form and rise. Now, she has seen this in a vision while she was praying. So it doesn't shock anybody. As they form and rise, I see demonic faces appear just as they crash over. The ship is not affected as it cuts through the waves. However, those ladies at the front of the ship get soaked and sometimes knocked off balance. Many have on full water gear and stay dry, while others have only partial gear. Those with the full gear help the others learn how to put on the gear. Put on the whole armor of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual in nature. The ship is women's ministry, and God owns the ship. That's why the ship is not bothered by any of it. So just sharing that with you. Follow, because we've never passed this way before. And going on to verse 6, then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Joshua, I gave you a job to do, and you're not going to do it on your own. And the people will know that I'm with you in the same way that I was with Moses, so that they will follow you. I've already prepared the way for you as a leader. I've already made the way. You shall command the priests, and then he gives direction. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. And so God has told him that. So now in verse 9, so Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail. I want you to mark that. He will without fail. He will without fail. God does not fail. God has gone before you. If you follow him, he will not fail. He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites. All of them. They're all going. God's got this. And I don't say that lightly. God's got this. Verse 11, behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you in the Jordan. Oh, the people say, what? I think I heard stories about this from my parents. I think they told me something about this. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. Oh my goodness. Yes. So he's telling them what's going to happen. Now their faith is going to be challenged. He's telling them what's going to happen. And he said without fail, he was going to drive out all those otherites, that he was going to drive them all out. So you have to be over there before you can drive them all out. So God has also promised them that they will get over the Jordan, and he will make a way for them. So he's telling them how it's going to happen. And so it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. Do you think their knees were knocking? Do you think they went in there with us? Okay, we're going to just step right in there. No. They were just normal people. They had fear. But they had more faith than they had fear. And it was the faith that caused them to put their foot there. That the waters which came down from upstream stood still, rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. And this city is, your book says 18. I looked up 16. So 16 to 18 miles upstream. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over the Jordan opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on, note this, mark it, dry ground. Dry ground. It was dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. Dry ground. It wasn't muddy. They passed on dry ground at the Red Sea. Yet when the Egyptians came through, their chariots got caught in the mud. Wow. I'm going to do a miracle, he said. I'm going to do great works, he said. And he did that. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Now, why did that have to be so far ahead of them, the 16 to 18 miles. Why do you think that is? Because of the number of people that were going to be crossing over. They had approximately 3 to 3.5 million people who were going to be crossing over. So they needed a lot of space. Can you imagine that many people, 2 abreast, going across? Oh, okay, I'm going to be here for 800 days, and you know, just to get across. But this made a way that was wide enough for, if I read it correctly, about 5,000 people to go at a time across. And so they were able to do that in one day. And so, it would have made it about 3 miles across, I think, if that's correct. They crossed on dry ground, and they were following the presence of the Lord. When there is mud in your life, remember that you can cross on dry ground when you keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. All the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Following God's presence. How in the world are we believing this? I believe this is a true story. Y'all believe this is a true story? You wouldn't be here if you didn't believe that. I know that. You know why you believe that? Because you believe Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. If I can believe that, I will believe everything else that's in this Bible, because there's nothing in here that's there by accident. Every word of it is true. Every story in it is true. Every one of them speak of God's goodness, his grace, his faithfulness, his goodness. And what God did for them as they crossed over on dry land, he will do for us. And Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, that you are good, always good. You are always faithful. You always go before us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have revealed to us how to just keep our eyes on you, to set aside those things that so easily beset us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you brought me here today. I'm thankful, Lord, for your work in my life. I thank you for these precious ladies, Lord, who made my birthday special. Would you bless them, Lord? Would you anoint them afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit? Because of their giving spirits, because of their loving hearts, because their eyes are set upon you, Lord, would you grace them with blessings upon their lives today? Would you show them something today in your word that is just for them? Just for them. That's a question they've been asking you for a long time, and they need a word. I pray that you would give them that word today. And I thank you, Lord, for doing it. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for giving me a voice. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for making my birthday so special.
Thank you for listening to this heart-to-heart women's Bible study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the heart-to-heart women's ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I've given up.